Continue with our Gospel through the Bible series. We're going to work on Proverbs now for a number of weeks. See what God has for us for all things, and particularly for the Gospel here in the book of Proverbs. So we're just going to read three Proverbs right now, and then we'll refer to others as we go along. So Proverbs chapter 15, beginning at verse 31. The ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. Whoever ignores instruction despises himself, but he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. The fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility comes before honor. The title for this evening's sermon is The Young, the Proud, and the Foolish. Most cultures strongly encourage their young people to honor the old people. And so does the Bible. If you turn the page to chapter 16, verse 31, gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life. And you can give me your wise remarks later. Yes, most cultures and the Bible strongly encourage young people to honor the old people. Our culture does not. In our culture, you have advertisements that show men my age buying products to get rid of the gray hair. A very concrete example of not thinking that gray hair is a crown of glory. Concrete way of saying, better rid of that. Hide that age. I remember reading an article by one of the very few Christian professors that I had in college, where he amused himself while also making a point. He did a little rundown of empires. On the basis of his vast knowledge, he said, you know, the Austro-Hungarian Empire had a certain model for the right kind of man. The right man was a man of piety, a man of wisdom, a man of gravitas. This is the kind of ideal that you wouldn't attain before your 50s. He said the British Empire that followed was all over the world, and so it had as its ideal a man of capable of more action, but also a man of wide experience of the world. The British ideal, in other words, was an ideal you might have hoped to attain in your 40s. He said the French were a little more inclined to reason. Not experience, but reason. They said, just figure everything out. We're not going to use an old measuring system. We're going to come up with a reasonable one, the metric. All right, so everything is by reason. You can attain their ideal in your 30s. The article goes on. The Nazis were less inclined to encourage thinking for yourself. They wanted you to obey the Führer and to be brave and strong and courageous as you did what he told you. This ideal of strength, courage, and obedience can be attained by a man in his 20s. He said the Soviet Empire was so into communism and the collective that they had no ideal male type and nothing to aspire to. But America, he concludes, idealizes the teenager. We idealize a body that only a teenager could have. We idealize hair that has no gray in it. Our popular culture has themes of love and passion and so on, ideals that can be attained by teenagers and that are difficult to attain for anybody much older. He was obviously suggesting at the end, is it possible to sustain a civilization on our ideal? Now, why don't we encourage the young to honor the old? I think it's very simple. We don't think we need the old. We don't think we need their wisdom in our culture because, first of all, we think the problem is one of information. If you have enough information, we're told, then we should be fine. Information is great. But we're told that because corporations can give you information. And so we're told that that's what's important. If you have enough information, and where are you going to get it? You're going to get it from the internet or other sources. And so we even think you don't really have to learn anything as long as you know where to look it up. But how will you know when you need to look something up? It's hard to know what you don't know. Sometimes you don't know what you don't know. And furthermore, you're going to find that your real problems are often not from a lack of information, but from a lack of wisdom to know what to do with the information, or what information you ought to go seeking in the first place. Or sometimes you just can't get information. And what do you do then? So I want to encourage you to be countercultural and respect the older and respect your own need for wisdom. But our culture raises an objection at just this point. Our culture, dominant voices in it right now, say, have a theory of history. And the theory of history is that the arc of history is tending towards greater and greater inclusion and justice. And what that means, of course, is that our generation is the best one yet. And that all previous ones are wicked by comparison with us. Which is another cultural reason not to value the old. This kind of thinking suggests that older people are morally inferior to those who are younger. Again, a good question is, how do you know that? Did you know that slavery was obliterated in the medieval world? They got rid of it. You have slavery in the Roman Empire, and then in Christian Europe, you don't have slavery. And then it gets reintroduced at the time of Columbus. Is that the arc of history tending towards greater justice? Well, only if you take a really long view and ignore centuries of backsliding. Or who is more virtuous, the Germans in the 1930s who voted Hitler in, or the Germans in the 1920s who did not vote Hitler in and had the chance? Yes, what I want to say is that in our day, the people who control culture want to change many things, and they find it helpful, in fact, essential to slander the past, because they want you to ignore the ways in which their proposals have never been done before in history. They want to turn that into a plus instead of a minus. And so they say, never mind when we are the first culture to ever do something. That doesn't mean anything. We're the best. Everyone has been wicked fools until 21st century Western people. Proverbs says to us, when you think you're the smartest one in the room, that's when you're in trouble. When you think you're the only smart one and the only good one, you are obviously proud and certainly foolish, and both your pride and your foolishness are going to get you. So let's turn now in Proverbs to the dangers of pride. Look at chapter 16, verse 5. Everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured, he will not go unpunished. The proud person does not reckon with God. And the proud person makes the wrong enemy. And one of the features of the gospel that you want to take hold of is how the gospel destroys our boasting. Paul, that is the Saul we talked about this morning, really pounds on that. Where is our boasting, he asks. It is excluded by the law of faith. That is, we believe by faith that we cannot save ourselves. We must rely on Jesus because only Jesus can save us. And so what do we have to boast about? Nothing. And so you see how the gospel is there to undercut our pride. Our sins are so bad. It took the death of God's Son to pay for it. But it's all right. He has. So you are more loved than you dare imagine. Here's the first danger of pride. God hates it. But look again at chapter 16, at verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And there's a lot of reasons for that. When you're proud, you tend to get careless. You tend to stop working hard. You tend to stop taking precautions. I'll beat these guys anyway. I don't need to keep working as hard as I did. Yes, and that's when somebody beats you. When you're proud, people tend to hate you, and they may resist you, They may work together against you. You find yourself not where you thought you'd be. But most of all, of course, pride goes before destruction because God hates pride. And if the first two human factors don't get you, then he will. And so you have chapter 16, verse 19, the very next verse. It is better to be of a lowly spirit with the poor than to divide the spoil with the proud. You might say, why is it better? Wouldn't you rather think highly of yourself and have spoil than think lowly of yourself and be poor? Well, back to verse 18. It is better because pride goes before destruction. Pride goes, as we normally shorten it, pride goes before a fall. And it's not good to have a fall. That's why it is better to have a lowly spirit. So don't be too proud to listen to others. In particular, don't be too proud to listen to old people and previous generations. Because when you're proud, God promises you, you have a powerful enemy in him. Secondly, we see the dangers of foolishness, or maybe simply the danger of fools. Because in Proverbs talks as though some people simply are fools, and that seems awfully judgmental, but I've met some. And as Proverbs says, you can't work with them. It's best for you to stay far away. Look at chapter 17, verse 12. Let a man meet a she-bear robbed of her cubs, rather than a fool in his folly. No, well, that's harsh. Why? Why is it better to meet a she-bear robbed of her cubs, which is sort of proverbial for the animal you do not want to meet, bigger than you and freaking out? Why would you rather have that than meet a fool in his folly? Well, if you see a she-bear robbed of her cubs, you have one problem. And you know what it is. Stay out of reach. Stay away from the bear and you'll be all right. But a fool and his folly, you're not quite sure what the danger is going to be. So if you see someone cutting down a tree the wrong way, get far away from the tree. You don't know where it's going because he doesn't. If you see someone playing with explosives or fire or not taking precautions, there's a fool and his folly. Get far away. You don't know what's going to happen. If you see someone who's found his father's pistol and is playing with it, kids, get far away. I knew someone who lost his father because a kid found his father's pistol and thought it was a toy. Yeah, let a man meet a she-bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. You don't know with the fool where the danger is going to come from. Now, what are the characteristics of a fool? Well, a fool won't listen. Chapter 15, verse 5, he won't listen to dad. A fool despises his father's instruction. A fool doesn't respect mom either. Chapter 15, verse 20, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. The fool won't listen to people who try to help him out. Chapter 15, verse 32, whoever ignores instruction despises himself. The fool really hates being corrected. Chapter 15, verse 12. A scoffer does not like to be reproved. He will not go to the wise. Well, that's what a fool won't do. And of course, we're being instructed the whole time, don't be like that. If you're like that, that's who you're going to be. So what does a fool like to do? Well, he likes to talk. Chapter 18, verse 2. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. It's not just his opinion. He likes to express his feelings. Chapter 29, verse 11. A fool gives full vent to his spirit. A wise man quietly holds it back. There are times you're upset, and you want to just say how you're feeling. So that can be foolish. You can create a lot more problems for yourself that way. A wise man quietly holds it back. Figures out how to address this. Not just boom. And the fool wants to do what he wants to do. Chapter 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. You know, be careful. When you get rich, it becomes easier to think you're the smart one. You're the rich one. You must be the smart one. But it's not so. Chapter 28, verse 11. The rich man is wise in his own eyes. The poor man who has understanding will find him out. So I encourage you to shun the foolishness and to know what it looks like. Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool. But he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. And we have a special reason to shun pride. Human wisdom could never discover Jesus. And Jesus is the power of God for salvation. And Jesus thanked God for this special property of salvation, that the wise can't find it. He said in Matthew 11, 25, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things, the way of salvation, from the wise and understanding, and have revealed it to children. Yes, for that was your gracious will. It's the most important things God hid from the proud, the understanding, the worldly wise. And we will not be saved as long as we think highly of ourselves. The thinking highly is part of the problem. We need godly humility. Not depression, not loads of self-loathing. That's still too self-focused. We need to know that we ourselves are weak and easily tempted and distracted and defeated. But Jesus is strong and constant. He's overcome all temptation and our greatest enemy. And so, beloved, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Listen to the wise. Listen to the old. And above all, listen to the Lord, and He will lift you up. Let's join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, help us, for we so easily think so highly of ourselves. And we're so surrounded by a culture that tells us to think highly of ourselves. Help us to think as we ought to think, with right and true judgment. And we thank you both for your word that gives us guidance, and for the word, Jesus Christ, by whom we are saved, and by whom we are guided and taught. Help us all to be taught by him. In Jesus' name, amen.